Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Alicia Israel of the House of Israel, bring your truth or traditions. We told our people a few weeks ago that there were seven everlasting covenants that the Creator, the Almighty Yahweh, gave to his people to be kept forever throughout all their generations and all of their dwellings forever. These covenants is a binding agreement that the Most High made with our people. We must observe these covenants. These covenants have on them life or death. Matter of fact, these covenants are so serious that the Creator himself stated that he would destroy the earth if we failed to keep his covenants that he gave to our ancient foreparents. And we're going to deal with one of the covenants today. I'm going to personally deal with a covenant, the only covenant that the Christians claim that they are keeping. They claim that they are under the new covenant. They claim that the New Testament is a verification of the realization of this new covenant. But the truth of the matter is, it is not. In order to observe the new covenant, you would have to observe the old covenant. And if you don't believe in the old covenant, you can't keep the new covenant because they're one of the same. There's no difference in the old covenant and the new covenant other than the fact that the old covenant was written on a tablet of stone and the new covenant would be written in your heart. But I told our people that unfortunately these covenants had not been revealed to our people because our people have not shown the fear to the Creator that was necessary in order for him to reveal these deep secrets. And these secrets are not nothing that had been lost. They have always been in the book. They have just not been explained to our people because they have not been revealed to the various messengers. I'm going to show you something. If we go to the book of Psalms 24, I believe we're going to go to Psalms 24, 25, and we're going to go to verse 14. We're going to start it. Psalms 25, and I want you to look and see what the Mighty One of Jacob had to say about his covenant and how precious it is to him. It reads in verse 14,
"The secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant."
Notice, the secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him. And these things are a secret. They are so much of a secret that I even offered anyone in the world that was listening to our program a few weeks ago $1,000 if they could tell us these seven everlasting covenants. Now, I get phone calls from all over the world, from all over Europe and Africa and Asia, all the states within the United States, and I extended it out to everyone. And I made a proclamation and said the only ones that know these covenants are people that are affiliated with me, whom I have revealed these covenants to. Other than that, the Creator let me know that our people did not have the understanding of these covenants. This revelation had not been revealed. Let's read, it said, the secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, is with them that fear him, and he, Yahweh, will show them his covenants. Again, I'm going to present these seven everlasting covenants to you. One is circumcision. Then you have the covenant of the Sabbath. Then the covenant of the Ten Commandments. Then you have the New Covenant. Then you have the Davidic Covenant. Then you have the covenant that Yahweh made with David. And lastly, we have the covenant that Yahweh made with night. And he extended these covenants to us for an everlasting possession to us and our children's children forever. All of these covenants are connected to one another. You can't observe one if you don't observe the first one. They ride piggyback on top of another. Of regardless how straight and how great the Ten Commandments are, the Davidic covenant is, you cannot observe those covenants. We of the house of Israel cannot observe those covenants if we are not circumcised. Because if we are not circumcised, then we are not part of his divine covenant. We're not part of his family. We're not part of the household that he separated and said he would be a God and to us and to our descendants, and he would not give that land that he promised us to us. Notice how great that covenant is, and notice how important it is. If you're not keeping this, then the rest of them won't profit you at all. And the bad thing about it, the New Testament teaches our people not to observe circumcision. They teach our people that if you're observing circumcision, you're actually cursing Christ. If you're observing circumcision, then the faith in Christ, the faith and grace that Christ has brought to the earth, that you're not a part of that if you're going to be crazy enough to obey the Most High. This is what it's really saying. But notice what Yah said about this covenant before we go to any other. According to Genesis, the 17th chapter, here is what the covenant means to our people. Start reading at verse 2.
Genesis chapter 17, verse 2. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying.
And he's talking to Abram at this time. His name was not changed to Abraham. If you notice verse 1, and Abram was 90 years old and 9.
And Yahweh appeared to Abram.
And said unto him,
I am the Almighty Elohim.
Walk before me and be thou perfect. That's all he had to do to inherit eternity for him and his descendants forever, is to walk before Creator and be thou perfect. And he said, I will make my covenant between me and thee,
and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him.
In other words, he had to humble himself like he had never humbled himself before, because the Most High, Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is, was extending an invitation to Abram that he never extended to anyone else before. So Abram fell on his face as he talked to the mighty Yah.
And Elohim talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations."
Thou shalt be a father of many nations.
"Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham."
"But thy name shall be called Abraham.
For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful."
I'm going to make thee exceedingly fruitful.
"And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a Elohim unto thee, and to thy seed after thee."
Notice how great that covenant is. He's going to change his name from Abram, then Abraham. He's going to make him the father of many nations. He's going to make him exceedingly fruitful and make nations come out of him, and kings shall come out of his lions. And he said, "I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be an Elohim unto thee and unto thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their Elohim." Now, this is the promise, and this is the covenant that the Most High made with Abram. Christianity and the New Testament would want us to think that Yahweh broke this word and that we're no longer under this great covenant. They would want us to think that this covenant is trivial. It's nothing. It is meaningless, ignored, and only look forward to receiving Christ, when Yahweh never said a word about Christ. And I will extend throughout the listening audience, throughout the world, I want everyone to hear me tonight, I will give anyone, any man, woman, child, or beast that's able to call our show and show us one place where the Creator of the universe, the mighty Yah, ever talked to the Christ of the New Testament, ever talked about the Christ of the New Testament in mentioning his name. All they got to do is show me where the Creator mentioned the name of this Christ anywhere in the New Testament, where he was speaking to him, or either show us anywhere in the Holy Scriptures what Daniel called the Scriptures of Truth. Anywhere in the Scriptures of Truth where the Most High ever mentions JC's name. Whether he called him Emmanuel, Yahshua, Yehoshua, or JC, or JESUS. Just show me where he talked to this person, or talked to one of the prophets about this person and naming his name. and you would win $1,000. And I'm doing that to show you that you have been hoodwinked. You have been bamboozled. You have been tricked. The same man who put you in the back of the line is the same man that made you the last hired and the first fired. And unfortunately, he is the same man that put you in the back of the book. And that's where you became backwards at. Now when you try to read the words of the mighty Yah, now you have a backwards mentality. And even though you think this person is so great, that Yah so loved him that he so loved him that he would give him to save the world, and that he so loved the world that he would give his only begotten son, show us where this man is his son, his only begotten son. Show us by showing us one place in the scriptures where Yahweh mentions this man's name. The reason I throw that out there, because if he was so important that your whole salvation would rest in you developing a relationship with this man, you being baptized in his name, you calling on his name, you speaking about him, if he was so significant, you would at least find where the Creator talked to one of the great black prophets somewhere in this book and mentioned his name and told that prophet to tell the people what thus said Yah said about this person. But he never did. He talks about his two servants all through the book. And those two servants is Israel and his servant David. But this other fellow, we can't find one word. And if you can, call in and make me apologize and mail you the money. But you can't do it because it does not exist. Call your bishops. Call your rabbis. Call your elders. Call your so-called reverends. Call anybody you want and see if they can help you. And say, oh, Rab, deacon, bishop, you said this man is in the Old Testament. Show me one place where Yah talked about him so I can call in and prove this Elisha wrong. Just one place. That's all that we need. But until then, let's go on with the show.
Verse 9, Genesis chapter 17. And Elohim said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child amongst you shall be circumcised.
Every man child amongst you shall be circumcised.
And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant between me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised amongst you, every man child in your generations. He that is born in the house or brought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house and he that is bought with thy money must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant.
And the uncircumcised man child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Yah said, if you're not circumcised, you've broken that everlasting covenant. Now, let me show you how great that everlasting covenant is. It is so great that if you are not circumcised, then you're not even able to keep any of the great Sabbath days. You cannot enjoy the Sabbath day. You cannot enjoy our feast days. You cannot enjoy our holy celebrations, and you cannot even be in our community. Notice what the Most High said in regard to his circumcision about the law. If we go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, we have a bunch of people here calling themselves Hebrew Pentecostals and whatnot. Hebrew Pentecostals saying they keep the Sabbath day, which they never has, saying they keep the feast days and the Passovers, but they don't believe in circumcision because they said Paul said don't be circumcised. So they're following Paul. Notice what the Creator said about circumcision in regards to his holy Sabbaths and his holy days. If we go to the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, and we start reading at the 44th verse. Here is what it says, starting at verse 43.
And Yahweh said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof.
In other words, y'all calling yourself eating the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper was no other than the Passover meal. And they were not allowed to eat the Passover meal except they were circumcised. And even in the New Testament, at the time that the J.C. and his followers were alleged to have eaten the Passover meal, all them were circumcised. They all kept the law. And they were all part of the gospel of the circumcision. That's why they were able to keep it. But right here, the Creator said, a man that is not circumcised is not allowed to eat of that meal. He goes on.
Verse 45. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten.
In other words, just a foreigner that's not circumcised or a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house
shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth out of the flesh a broad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to Yahweh.
In other words, when a stranger wants to start living with us, that's what it means to sojourn, and will keep the Passover.
Let all his males be circumcised.
Let all his males be circumcised.
And then,
and at that time,
let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land.
Then he shall be as one that is born in the land.
For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof.
Why does the Creator keep mentioning that no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof?
One law shall be to him that is homeborn and unto the stranger that sojourneth amongst you.
So any stranger that wants to keep the Ten Commandments and the Sabbath day and the holy days must be circumcised in order for him to be part of our household, period. He has to be circumcised. One law shall be to us, and one law shall be to him that is homeborn or unto the stranger that sojourn amongst you. That's how precious and that's how great that covenant is. The covenant of circumcision is so great that when we go even to where Yahweh established his kingdom on earth, and he talks about his house or his temple that he would build on this earth. And if we go to chapter 46 of the book of Ezekiel, Yah is going to mention what he is going to do about this holy house and about his Sabbaths and who is allowed to eat it. We're going to go to Ezekiel 44. We want to go to the 44th chapter, and Yah is going to let you know who's able to be in his house, that he resurrect on this earth in the latter days. This is a poetic vision of Yahweh's house being rebuilt on earth, as it is mentioned in Ezekiel, the 44th chapter. And notice what it says in verse 6.
And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, and that ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart.
You brought, he accused our people of bringing into his house strangers that are uncircumcised in heart and
uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it.
He said when they're in there, they're polluting it. And that's what our people allowed in his house. So these places they got in the city that they don't believe in circumcision, that they call it the house of God and the house of Yah, they're lying to you. Yah said he's holding us responsible because we have brought into his house strangers that are uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh to be in his house to pollute it. And that's all that they are doing today, polluting it.
When ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations, and ye have not kept the charge of my holy things, but ye have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourselves.
Thus said Yahweh,
no stranger,
no stranger,
uncircumcised in heart, nor uncircumcised in flesh, shall enter into my sanctuary.
Of any stranger that is amongst the children of Israel. Here, the Creator repeats, and he's being redundant, and repeats over and over and over that this is an everlasting covenant. If it's everlasting, then Paul or anyone else cannot and was not given the authority to abolish or abrogate this great covenant. No man has the power to do that. But nevertheless, the lying ministers and preachers and bishops are telling you that you don't have to be circumcised. And here Yah says when he sets up his kingdom on earth, that no uncircumcised person in heart or flesh shall enter into his sanctuary for any reason. So, Yah says, I am Yahweh, I change not. Malachi 3:6 says, I am Yahweh, I change not. He doesn't change. Isaiah 40:8, the grass withers, the flower faded, but the word of our Elohim shall stand forever. Isaiah 55, Yahweh said, my word shall not go out of my mouth void. I don't just talk the talk. When words go out of my mouth, it's go out of my mouth to serve a purpose. Here Yah says in Isaiah 55,
verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void.
It's not going to return unto me void.
But it shall accomplish that which I please.
The word shall accomplish that which I please it to do.
And it shall prosper.
And it shall prosper.
In the thing whereto I sent it.
So it's going to happen. So don't let no lying preacher tell you that Yahweh has changed? The one that made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is never changes. Why should he change? He's perfect. He said all his ways and his works are perfect. He said his laws are perfect. So when somebody show you a Quran and say, well, here, Yahweh changed, and he got another book now with new laws in it, say, well, you're telling a lie. When they give you a New Testament and say Yahweh changed and he brought his son down to redo everything that he did and to do away with the laws and usher in righteousness and truth, tell them they're telling a lie. Yahweh does not change. Read to them Ezekiel. Read to them Psalms 89. Psalms 89, 34 says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my mouth. Read to me Ecclesiastes 3 and 14 and 15. Read that to them so they can know who they're dealing with.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that whatsoever Elohim doeth,
whatsoever Yahweh doeth,
it shall be forever.
It's going to be forever.
Nothing can be put to it.
Do you hear that, Mr. New Testament and Mr. Quran and Mr. Hadith? Nothing shall be put to it.
Nor anything taken from it.
Do you hear that, so-called Muslims, so-called Christians? Nothing can be taken from it, and nothing can be put to it.
And Elohim doeth it.
And Yahweh does it.
That men should fear before
that
him.
That Yah should fear before him. Yah should fear before him. That's what Yah said. Whatever he does, it is forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And he does it that men shall fear before him. Period. Case closed. But they would like you to think that these covenants have been done away with. Let me show you how serious these covenants are. If you further go in the back in Isaiah, the 24th chapter. Isaiah, the 24th chapter. And we read verse 5. It says,
the earth also is defiled.
That's why the earth is defiled today, brothers and sisters.
Under the inhabitants thereof.
Because they have transgressed the laws.
Changed the ordinance.
And broken the everlasting covenant. And you are a big enough fool to believe a reverend or bishop to tell you that these everlasting covenants have been done away with. How are they going to be done away with if they're everlasting? The word itself implies that they're here forever. Yah said, my covenants will I not break, nor alter the things that come out of my mouth. I showed you where these covenants will be reinstituted in a new heaven, in a new earth, when Yah's kingdom is again on earth and his tabernacle is again amongst men, he said, no man that is uncircumcised in heart or flesh shall come into my sanctuary for any reason at all. Any reason. Period. But they would like to tell you that Yahweh told a lie. And if you're not being circumcised, then you cannot keep the Ten Commandments. And you cannot keep the covenant of the Sabbath day, nor are you able to keep any of the Sabbaths, nor are you able to even reside with a righteous person. Period. So all of these covenants go together. And now we have ministers teaching our people that they are part of the new covenant. Well, first of all, let me show you what the old covenant was. And once I show you what the old covenant was, then maybe you can get an understanding what the new covenant is. We go to the book of Exodus, the 34th chapter. And I see somebody on a board that wants to have a debate with me. And I want to tell that young man to call me up after the show. I tried to talk to him before and tell him that if he act polite and nice, this is the same one I had a debate with about he believing that you can't go out of your house on the Sabbath day. And incidentally, the reason that was so important, because one man even approached me and he said, Alicia, what's the big difference? He teaches that you still have to keep the Sabbath day, but you just can't come out of your house. And you teach that you can keep the Sabbath day, but you can come out of the house. Well, you're both keeping the Sabbath day, aren't you? So what's the problem? The problem is, if you're staying in your house, then you're not keeping Yahweh's Sabbath day. Because Yahweh gave us the Sabbath day as part of his Ten Commandments. And in keeping the Sabbath day, he made it a holy convocation. And I want to show this one thing, and I want this young man to call me up after the show. And if he called me at 531-226-7110, and he promised me that he's going to act orderly and mannerable, then we can have a debate again. But my audience don't like that interruption and all that foolishness anymore. They don't like that. If anybody can have a nice, clean discussion or discourse or debate, if you want to call it that, and it's done in an orderly manner, then we can get that on. But the way that he was conducting himself the last time that I talked to him, he let me know that he's still licking his wounds and he's kind of hurting. I wanted to wait until he cool off a little bit, and then we can get back with him. But let me just show our listening audience something, and I want him to read this. In the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, and I want all of you all to know how serious it is when one of my own brothers, even another Israelite, is teaching our people that they can't come out of their dwellings on the Sabbath day. I'm teaching that is a doctrine. That's a false doctrine. Matter of fact, to make it a doctrine, he got to establish it at the mouth of two or more witnesses. And the only time it said not to come out of your house on the Sabbath day was to look for manna on the ground. And if anybody read the entire 16th chapter of Exodus, they will get this understanding if they read it with honesty and fairness. They will get this same understanding. But if they just looking for a way to stay in the house because they was put out of a congregation somewhere, well, maybe they will never have this understanding. But notice what Leviticus, the 23rd chapter said, verse 1.
And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh,
concerning the feast of Yahweh,
which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts.
Even these are my feasts.
6 days shall work be done.
6 days may work be done.
But the seventh day,
the seventh day,
is the Sabbath of rest.
A Sabbath of rest.
And holy convocation.
And holy convocation. A holy convocation, brothers and sisters, mean a holy gathering. How can we have a holy gathering if everybody stay in their own houses? How can we come together to make a joyful noise and praise our King if everybody stays in their own houses? How can we serve Yah with fear and trembling and have his word talk to us by the teaching priests if we stayed in our own houses. That's the reason we had a temple built. At the time, the Creator told us not to go out of the house. It was only for the purpose of manna, and there was not even a tabernacle built, let alone a temple. But when the temple was instituted, we went to the temple every Sabbath day and every new moon. Not some Sabbaths, not some new moons, but every Sabbath. And every Sabbath would, of course, include the seventh-day Sabbath. As you will read, if you looked in the book of Isaiah, the 66th chapter. But we're not going to rehash that tonight. We want to deal with something else. But this young man, if he's finished licking his wound, is he ready to be a responsible gentleman and have an orderly discussion, tell him to call me after the show or anyone, because next week I want to teach on one of the greatest covenants that's ever been taught, and that's the covenant of David. But I will alter that and speak on the covenant of day and night. If I find any minister in the world that would state that I'm wrong about what I'm saying about day and night, I'm mistaken, and they believe that a day starts in the night, and if from one evening to the next evening, if they believe that, I will have a discourse with them on my show if they want to be gentlemanlike. We can have that discussion. Just call me, 513-226-7110. Because the whole world that heard our first debate know I was not running, and they seen what took place. Matter of fact, I was criticized for whooping on one of my brothers like that, but they didn't know how serious the matter was. All right? Good. Now, let's get right Let's read.
Exodus, the 34th chapter.
We're going to read verse 28.
And he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments, that's the covenant. That's another covenant. But you're not able to keep the Ten Commandments. And one of the Ten Commandments, you have another covenant, which is a Sabbath day that's attached to the Ten Commandments, and you're not able to keep either one of those if you're not circumcised because you're not part of our household. So I want you to look at that for a minute. But I have a beautiful sister that's been on the line waiting to ask me a question, and I want to answer this question before her, before she goes away or has something to do. I want to address her concern. Sister Cynthia.
Sister Cynthia. Brother?
Excellent, excellent.
Listen, I wanted to ask a question about the way you formed the question about the Bible speaking in terms of Jesus being the Son of God. I am not interested in discourse. I will tell you that I'm a member of a Baptist church, have been all my life, but I'm interested in the truth. And I love studying the word. So I just want to put this before you, and then I'm going to listen to what you have to say. And I think my bigger question is, I'm not sure what you're saying about where the scriptures of the New Testament come from. But your specific question, one of the things that I was always taught about God speaking in the New Testament, it never says, thus says Yahweh, or thus says the Lord. The voice always comes from nowhere and or from a cloud. And there is such a passage that I wanted to ask you about. It's the on the Mount of Transfiguration, the one that I refer to most often is in Matthew 17, verse 5, and then you'll find it in a couple of the other Gospels in addition to Peter. It's the same incident,
yes,
just different variations.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, I've always been taught the voice of God speaking from the cloud that says, this is my son. He doesn't say Jesus, but as you read it in the passage, you understand that he is making reference to Jesus in this passage.
Well, first of all, you never see where it's made reference that that was Yahweh speaking.
No, it doesn't.
See, so it's neither. So we are playing a guess game, and Yah does not let his servants guess when he's speaking. Every time the Creator presented himself in the Old Testament, he wanted our people to take him serious. He wanted our people to pay attention to him, so he always let the prophet know who his message was coming from. And that's when it said, this is the man coming in the name of Yahweh. In your book, it said, here's a man that's coming in the name of the Lord. And he always told the people what thus said Yahweh, or in your book, what thus said the Lord had to say. But nobody was ever mistaken about who was stating it, because Yah had made known to everyone, even when he had a tree speak. He said, talk to the wind and tell the wind what thus said Yahweh. Talk to the dry bones and tell the bones what thus said Yahweh. Go to anyone, go to the waters and tell the waters what thus said Yahweh. He always let our people know that he was speaking. There's not one time in the New Testament where Yahweh ever said a mumbling word, period. But there are, as you had stated, about four places where it said, a voice said, this is my beloved son. A voice said, this is my son, do mine well, please. A voice said, but nowhere will you see that voice identified as Yahweh in the New Testament. And when you read the Old Testament, you will never see where Yahweh speaks and says one mumbling word about the Christ in any name. He doesn't call him JC. He doesn't call him Christ. He doesn't call him Emmanuel or Yahshua or Yehoshua or nothing. And incidentally, that Emmanuel that's in the book of Isaiah is somebody entirely different than who you were taught it was. And I can elaborate on that another day and show you all the scriptures on Emmanuel and show you exactly who he is. But he has nothing to do with the Christ of the New Testament at all. And then you wanted to know what I think about the New Testament. I don't teach it every week because I don't have the time, Sister Cynthia, but I teach periodically that the New Testament is a lie. It was produced by a man that hated Yahweh. I'm going to repeat, the first New Testament that the world has ever known was written by a man named Marcion. I'm going to spell his name so you can look it up on the internet or down the library, and it's spelled M-A-R-C-I-O-N. This man hated the Almighty, and he wanted another book made so his followers could have a book that was not exalting Yahweh or his people. And as I said, all the historians at that time that wrote about him, that knew him, Hancock, Tertullian, Eusebius, Origen, all of these historians called this man the son of Satan because they all knew that he hated the Most High. And everything in the New Testament contradicts what the Most High says. That's reading someone that was raised from the front of the book instead of the back of the book, and started with a good foundation, they don't end up with Christ being the Lord. They know who the Yahweh is from the beginning. They know who his servants are and his Messiah is because they read about it all through the book. And when you read from the front of the book, you will never see where this other person is mentioned at all, period. I have $1,000 out to give anyone to just show me one word where he called this person's name just once. And anybody this significant that's going to save the world, die for humanity, shed his blood for the remission of sin, the only beloved, only begotten son of Yah, and he never talked about this son, never mentioned his name to no one. And of all the black prophets in the book, not one of them ever said one mumbling word about this fella mentioning his name. They mention the Messiah, but they all tell you what Messiah they're talking about. Isaiah told you that the Messiah is David. Jeremiah says he's David. Ezekiel said he's David. Hosea says he's David, and I say he's David. Now, which one spoke of this other person? No prophet, period.
Brother, I'm going to thank you for your response, and I'm going to look up Marcion, and I'm sure I'll have questions in the future.
And I would, listen, I'm looking forward to them,
okay,
because I love a smart woman.
You be blessed.
Thank you, and you likewise.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Anybody else want to call in with any contributions to our conversation, any questions, any comments, just call in. We don't hang up on people. We're not rude to people. And we ask you all to be polite to us because we're going to respect you. All right? Well, let's finish reading.
Exodus chapter 34.
Verse
28. And he was there with Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. And he did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments he wrote on the covenant. And as I'm speaking, somebody's trying to call me after the show is over, and I can talk, but I'm not able to talk now. Call me at the same number after 8:30. But I'm not taking any phone calls on my private line. But if you want to call us up at the show, call us. The phone number is 749-1230. And that's to anyone that has any contribution that they want to make to our listening audience. Period. All right, keep reading.
And it came to pass when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai.
Notice he had 10 commandments, and we also look in the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. And this is what the old covenant was. A lot of people didn't know what the old covenant was. And they thought all the old covenant was all the laws, statutes, and commandments, and it is not. And if you look in the book of Daniel, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse, or should I say Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, the 13th verse, it says,
and he declared unto you his covenant.
His covenant.
Which he commanded you to perform.
Which he commanded you to perform.
Even Ten Commandments.
Even Ten Commandments. This is the covenant. You can find this also in Deuteronomy 5, the 5th chapter 2. But the covenant after the Sabbath day was the Ten Commandments, which included the Sabbath. But in order to keep the Ten Commandments, because this is not an order that Yah would beat somebody up, this is a blessing he gave us. To give us righteous commandments that we and our family could live for, that would bring us together, keep us united. This is a blessing. And he gave it to us. But in order to receive this blessing, we had to also observe the covenant of the Sabbath day and the covenant of circumcision. And right now, I'm going to take you to the covenant of the new covenant. The one that the people of the New Testament claim they are living in today. And I'm going to show you how ridiculous that is to even think that. First, let's go to the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go to another listener that has a serious question. His name is Brother Daniel. We're going right to our brother today. Shalom.
A serious question.
Yes.
His name is Brother Daniel.
Brother Daniel?
We're going right to our brother today. Shalom.
Shalom, Alicia.
Yes, do me a favor. I need you to turn down your radio. We're getting a terrible backlash.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I got you.
Okay, now you're talking about the old covenant and the new covenant.
Yes, sir.
And I would like for you to explain what Paul meant in Galatians, the 2nd chapter and the 21st verse.
All right. Before we read off the new covenant, we're going
to
go
to that.
We're going to see what Paul was talking about in the book of Galatians, the 2nd chapter, the what?
21st verse.
The 21st verse. Okay, we'll read that for you. And here's what it says.
I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain.
Do you hear that? So what they're doing, in this sense, Brother Daniel, they are attempting to discourage our people in observing the laws of the Most High. Now we keep everybody else's laws. We keep the law of gravity. We keep the Cincinnati laws. We keep the Ohio laws. We keep the laws of balance when we try to walk. We can't talk if we don't obey certain laws. Everything we're doing, we're obeying laws. We're obeying somebody's laws. There's laws to everything. Even laws on how to drink water properly or you drown yourself. But they, when they get the Almighty's laws, they'll teach you that his laws are done away with. And then they would make a statement that says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Well, I guess he is dead in vain. He did die in vain if they think that his death did away with the law.
Right.
If they think by his death they are no longer under the law, and they think that when he shed his blood, that took away the obligation and responsibility of obeying the Almighty's laws, then he died in vain, and so will they.
That's right.
Let me show you how serious these laws are to let you know that righteousness does come by the law. If we go to the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, look what the mighty one of Israel had to say about his commandments. He said, these commandments, that we be here forever, and we don't have to look for them, because if you're a part of his divine flock, then he's writing these commandments in your heart, as it is written about the new covenant. If we start in verse 11, it says,
for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring us unto us, that we may hear it?
Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who should go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and that we may do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And then the Creator says,
see, I have set before thee this day life and good.
Life and good. Now, who wouldn't want life and good but a fool? And what does a fool want? He don't want life and good, but he wants death and evil. And that's what it says. See, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil.
In that I command thee this day.
I command thee this day.
To love Yahweh thy Elohim.
To love Yahweh thy Elohim.
To walk in his ways.
To walk in his ways.
And to keep his commandments.
Keep his commandments.
And his statutes.
And his statutes.
And his judgment.
That thou mayest live and multiply.
And Yahweh thy Elohim shall bless thee in the land where thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou would not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods.
In other words, if you want to serve the God called Christ, then you can't do these commandments. Because these commandments anger Christ, they say, if you do these commandments. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou would not hear, but thou should be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day
that ye shall surely perish,
and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land
when thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it.
I call heaven and earth to record this day against you,
that I have set before you life and death,
death,
blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou, both thou and thy seed, may live,
that thou mayest love Yahweh the Elohim, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell
in the land which Yahweh sware unto thy fathers.
So, the laws are not life, but Yahweh is life. And he promised life to anybody that would love him and keep his commandments. That's where you get the life from. All life comes from the Most High. But you don't get the life until you obey him. But if you disobey him, you get death and evil. And we read where Paul say that if the law could bring life, then Christ died in vain. Well, Christ himself said the laws bring life. He said the laws bring life. If you go to the book of Matthews, let's go to Matthews in the New Testament, and I'm going to stick JC on Paul, since they got Paul claiming that you don't have to keep the laws, and that if you keep the laws, Christ can't profit you nothing. I'm going to show you where the Christ of the New Testament said that Paul is just a bald-faced lie. Notice what it says in the 19th chapter of Matthews. And we're going to start reading at the 16th verse. And we're going to show you how Christ said the laws of Yahweh represent life.
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?
Good master, what good thing might I do that I might have eternal life?
And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good?
Why are you calling me good? And then he said, There is none good but one, and that's Elohim. Hello? So that's showing you that Christ is not the Most High. That's showing you that Christ is not a Trinity or part of a Trinity. And that shows you that Christ even admits that the only one that's good on this earth or in heaven is Yahweh himself. He said there is none good but one, not three, and that is Yahweh. And then he told the man, But if thou desires life, keep the commandments. I'm going to repeat. Notice what he said to the man in relationship to a man wanted to know how he can have eternal life. The man said, Good master, what good thing might I do that I might have eternal life? That's what he's looking for. Eternal life. Not only life, but eternal life. And Christ is alleged to have said to the man that wanted eternal life, he didn't tell him to be baptized. He didn't tell him to go somewhere and speak in tongues and roll around a rug like a fool and jump up and down. He told the man, Why are you calling me good? And then he said, There is none good but one, and that is Elohim. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Hello?
Also, so, if the Ten Commandments are done away with, that means we don't have to honor our mother and father.
Oh, that's right. That's absolutely right.
We can commit adultery.
That's right. And I ask the foolish ministers about this all the time, and while they're trying to defend Peter and Paul, while I'm trying to exalt the Most High, I tell them what the Most High said, and then they're going to tell these poor children what Peter and Paul said. Isn't that something? Y'all going to listen to Alicia teach. I'm going to show you what Yahweh said. You're going to go to the preacher, and he's going to say what Peter said and what Paul said, and you're going to run with him. That's foolish.
That's true.
All right, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. We have another sister calling in, Sister Kim. We want to talk to Sister Kim. And anybody else that wants to call with any contribution, 749-1230. Sister Kim, how are you?
Hello.
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 Hello. How are you?
My name is Karen.
Oh, Karen. I see Kim. All right.
That's right. Okay. One of the things I keep, y'all say Yahweh, I keep saying God and Jesus. And a lot of people debating on that, but I feel that, you know, in my Bible, King James Bible, and it says the same thing as your Bible. But one question I wanted to ask, what is the original Bible? Because I see John the Baptist. What is the original Bible? Some people say it's Hebrew. Some people, you know. So what is the original Bible?
Well, that's a very broad and smart question you asked. There was no original Bible. The word Bible just means books.
Mm-hmm.
The word holy means holy books. Outside of the front cover, you won't see the word Bible mentioned in the Bible. The Most High never told his people to go and get a Bible and read.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, as we know it, consists of the Old and New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of the Almighty only consists of what they call the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
The Almighty never had a New Testament.
But
the Almighty's book was never called the New Testament. The book that he told his people to read mm-hmm. was what we go and call today the Old Testament,
uh-huh.
but the prophets called it the Scriptures of Truth.
Uh-huh.
The only holy scriptures is the so-called Old Testament, and that's the book that Yahweh said he gave to his people. If we look in the book of Isaiah,
mm-hmm.
and this is long before the New Testament was written,
mm-hmm.
you look in the book of Isaiah, the 34th chapter,
mm-hmm.
verse 16, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh. And read.
Look, he told us to seek out of the book of Yahweh. And the book of Yahweh is not a book called Paul's letters to the Romans. It's not a book called the Corinthians or what Paul said to the Galatians. That is not the book of Yahweh. Yahweh never sent a prophet to go and tell the people what Paul had to say or what anybody had to say other than himself.
Mm-hmm.
You won't read a book of Yahweh. Yah said, I want you to go to the people and tell them what thus said Paul. Yah said, go to the people and tell them what thus said Yahweh. And that's all the books of truth. All the scriptures of truth is went right where the Almighty sent it.
Okay,
and that's reading
the Old and New Testament. In my Bible, it's the Old and New Testament. So before you said there's not a New Testament? Or what? How did you say
no,
that?
The New Testament, as we know it, was not part of the original Holy Scriptures,
mm-hmm.
but it was part of the Bible that was first made.
Mm-hmm.
See, the first Bibles were made by Tyndale and Wycliffe and Smith. These were books that had the Holy Scriptures,
mm-hmm.
and they changed the name of the Holy Scriptures to the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And then his book, he called it the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And then he told his people that you're not under the Old Testament, you're going by the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all in a book he called the Bible. But I was telling you that the word Bible is not in this book, period.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in the 66 books of the so-called Bible.
Okay, but
the Almighty told his people.
Okay, we are us. Okay, so I don't ask people with different religion. Are we all studying the same things? People have a different belief. So was there a couple of old Bibles written in the Testament, or was there one main one? Because there is an Old Testament, but that Old Testament had to kind of come from a certain name of a book. So what's the name of the book?
No, it was not called the Old Testament. It was called the Holy Scriptures.
Okay, the Holy Scriptures.
And that's the name of the book, the Holy Scriptures, or the Scriptures of books.
So if I was to go by a book.
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
Our ancient book, the Almighty called it the Book of the Laws.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he called it, the Book of the Laws.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the prophets also, and many people call it the Tanakh. You got the Torah, which is the first five books of the law, and then you got the books of the prophets also, and people call it the Old Testament. Some call it the Tanakh. Others call it the Scriptures of Truth. The Almighty called it his Holy Scriptures, and the Holy Scriptures only was the Old Testament, and that's reading we're reading right now. Notice, I'm going to read this for everybody. Read that again. It says,
Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16, seek ye out of the book of Yahweh. And read, no one of these shall fail.
He said, not one of his books shall fail.
None shall want her mate, for my mouth it hath commanded.
He said, his mouth he commanded. And you'll see where he's commanding these things to be said and talked to his people all through the book.
Okay,
you can't find that in the New Testament.
Okay, so.
That's in Isaiah 34:16.
Okay, still I'm asking again. If I was to go buy a book, I know what you're saying on the in the inside, it's the Old Testament. On the outside, what book would I get on
Wait,
the outside?
Well, if you want to buy a book, you might buy a Torah. But if you want the whole Old Testament, mm-hmm. you might go and ask for a Tanakh.
Tanakh. How do you spell that?
Tanakh.
How you spell it?
T-A-N-A-C-K, Tanakh.
T-A-N-A-C-K.
Yes.
See, that's what I'm asking.
Yes, ma'am.
And so you believe, so we should just go by the Old Testament and
if
not the
Yes, if you, excuse me, I'm sorry, go ahead and finish.
Right now I'm in a Vicodius 21, and there it's the laws. My God keeps saying abomination to come in. And it's, when I look back, there's more like the law, the things that they did way back then, and it's happening today. You know, so you're saying, and then, and I talked to a couple of people, and some people feel like, you know, the seventh day, they shouldn't, you know, the seventh day that they can work and stuff like that. And I say the seventh day, you should just spend your seventh day with God. That's a day of rest. But some people feel like, you know, like you said in the New Testament, that that's not necessarily true. But I say, you know, which, you know, I'm not following it. I'm going to be truthful. You know, I sometimes clean on the seventh day. But I say you shouldn't clean or nothing because that was the rest of God. You're just supposed to go to church, come home, and study what the preacher says. Even though that preacher, he preached on that Bible, he can't get it all in that sermon. And sometimes the preacher's not, you know, sometimes you don't even know if they're telling the truth unless you come home and study that. That's what I believe, you know. So I'm just asking.
Yes, ma'am. One thing is true in the New Testament, it lets you know how can you hear except you hear a preacher, and how can he preach except he be sent. The only ones that Yahweh sent is his servants, the prophets,
mm-hmm.
and nobody that teaches the New Testament are prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Prophets teach what thus said Yahweh, not what thus said Peter and Paul. When a man go telling you what Paul said, you know that he's telling you a lie. Because
mm-hmm.
his servants only taught what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said if his servants, the prophets, teach anything else anybody else says, he said go and kill them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Most High said in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if they come speaking in the name of any other God other than him, then kill them because they're deceiving the people. And that's being our people who are having their sons and daughters shot down in the streets today. That's the reason they're living in a state of poverty. That's the reason they're the last hired and the first fired. That's the reason they're catching hell and everything they're doing because we refuse to accept the true words of our Creator.
But then I have to say, a lot of children just out there in the world don't know God because, you know, like myself, I wasn't into the church. My kids don't necessarily, they know about my mother, but I went to church, but I didn't teach my kids. A lot of these kids don't know God because their mother and father is out there doing everything and anything, and they don't know God. So how could you blame them if they don't know God? Because the only way you know God is you got to go up under your mother and father. Now, if they out here cocaine drinking like I was, I'm going to be truthful. I got out of that. But if we're doing all this, how we expect our kids to know God, and how you expect God to condemn our kids if we haven't introduced our kids to God?
No, the Creator is not condemning your kids. You're condemning them.
Yeah.
When you don't hearken
mm-hmm.
and adhere to the words of the Most High,
mm-hmm.
you are cursing them.
Mm-hmm.
You are condemning them. Not he.
But then again, I believe, too, even though I did what I did, my kids are, you know, especially my son, you know, God is blessing my son because maybe what I did, sometimes God, they bless your children. You know, I guess it depends
right.
on the situation.
Well,
because
said
he blessed
your
children, even though you might have did what you did, he still bring your children into him.
That's true. That's true. As a brother of mine once said, tell the truth and shame the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you're just telling the truth. It never hurts
mm-hmm.
for us to have the truth out. And that's true. And we want you to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to know that there's a difference between Yahweh's book and this other book that's full of contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to know that there's a difference between the words of Yahweh and the words of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And we want you to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I invite you and sisters and brothers like you to visit us at the House of Israel at 1664 California Avenue in Barn Hill any Sabbath day. And we want you to hurry because we got the Day of Atonement approaching, quickly approaching our people, and we want to teach our people how to prepare for the Day of Atonement.
Well, I wanted to visit you Wednesday through the week, if I could, for a reason. And if I could, I wanted, after this, I wanted to call you. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can call me anytime. My number is 226-7110.
Yes.
And if anybody, you know anybody that have a that don't have an internet, mm-hmm. that's not fortunate to be on the website and is able to get our program, tell them we got a conference phone mm-hmm. that they can call in and listen to us every Sunday from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m.
What's the conference phone? I'm dyslexic anyway, but I just don't like computer.
Let me give everybody my conference number. So in case you don't want to listen on your computer, or you're not near it, mm-hmm. just call area code 209-647-1000.
Okay.
And then when you call, they will ask you for your access number.
Mm-hmm.
And the access number is 396-222. Mm-hmm. Pound.
222 pound. Okay.
And that's what we want you to go to.
396-222 pound.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
And we want you to, and I want you to have my personal number so you can call me at any time with any questions. And I have people calling me all over the world,
mm-hmm.
all times of night with all kind of questions, and I manage to be able to still deal with it, and I'm here. Let me give you my phone number. It's area code 513 226-7110. And that's not only for you. That's for anybody, any preacher, any deacon, anybody that thinks I'm wrong and would like to sit down and talk with me, anybody that wants some knowledge and realize who I am and wants some true knowledge about the Most High, call me up. I'm here to serve you day or night. Call me.
Yes, sir.
And I really appreciate talking to you, Sister Karen.
Yes.
And I want you to call back so we can talk again.
Yes, sir.
Did we answer all your questions?
Yes, sir. I somewhat, I've been somewhat talking to some of these 16 and 17, 8 years old, and I thought it was hard to talk to them. Pretty much they listen to what I have to say, but I say, read the Bible. Because I don't know everything. I say, read the Bible for yourself, and you can read it for yourself. Because I tell my son, don't take my word always, because mama might tell you something, not meaning it, but you got to go and study and do your own research, you know. So they pretty much out there, and, you know, people like you, I learn. So thank you.
Yes, ma'am. It's my pleasure, and it's my honor.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Anybody else have any questions? We can deal with that. Just call me up. But tonight our program is coming to a close. And next week, we promise to teach our people what they need to know about the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement is slowly approaching us. And we want y'all to be prepared for it because it might be the difference between life and death. That's how serious these holy days are. I want you to know all the ins and outs. But in the meantime, if you can find any pastor, any preacher that's been lying and teaching y'all that a day starts in the evening and a day is from one evening to another evening, have them to call the show and so they can try to back it up. As I'm telling you, they don't have